sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. A lot going on in today's show, and today's show is brought to you by our good friends, our great friends, at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar is second to none. Dill pickles, barrel pickles, that's my area of expertise. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So, what do we have coming up on today's show? We're going to start out in Philadelphia with Matt Leon from KYW. Talk about Philadelphia sports. Of course, we are the new home of the Philadelphia Phillies in the Valley. And we'll be thrilled to bring you all the Phillies action, starting with spring training. We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. Talked a little bit to Matt about Doug Peterson, a little bit to Matt about the Philadelphia 76ers situation. And the Phillies, as Kevin mentioned yesterday, the Phillies hired someone yesterday that does deal with the analytics side of the game. You can't just have pure scout anymore. You just can't have analytics anymore. You need a combination of the two. I think there's no such thing as too much information. It's just you have to be smart as to how you use the information. But the important part is to have it. And the Sixers have hired somebody now that can take care of the analytics side of the information to then go with the scouting part of it as well. You can't replace scouting. You can't replace eyes. You can't. It's very important because eyes tell you a couple things that analytics can't. And they give you a feel for instinct. They give you a feel for the game. Analytics can give you some numbers and they can tell you, and can confirm maybe what you're watching or something you should be watching for. And that's what they can do. In combination, they can give you as much information as possible to make really good decisions, I think. And I know I use analytics all the time, but as I point out to people when I use analytics, I use it in combination with watching a tape or watching a practice. Tomorrow, Penn State will play basketball against Michigan. If you look at Michigan, just the pure number, they've hit 41% of their threes this year. When you take an analytic, here's what an analytic tells you. Michigan has scored 43% of its points this year outside the arc. They have scored 42% of their points inside the arc. And 15% at the free throw line. Most teams are in the usually about 50% plus when it comes to two-pointers and 25 to 35% in three-pointers. This is the only team I've run into so far this year that has higher percentage from outside the arc than inside the arc. That's an analytic. Now I watch the tape. Tape tells me how they set it up. Duncan Robinson is a corner-to-wing shooter. Derek Walton is a top-of-the-key straight-on shooter. Zach Irvin will be just to the left of the elbows when he shoots. So that, see, now I watch the tape, and that tells me something about where each guy is taking the three-point shot from. And then, of course, I'll go to a practice. And in a practice, how does Pat Chambers want to defend it? How does he want to handle it? What are they doing specifically drill-wise to make sure that they are defending the perimeter? And how are you protecting against blow-bys, although Michigan is not a great blow-by team? So that's what you do is you try to use the combination and marry it all together between analytics, a scout tape, watching a practice, and then bringing it all together. How much of it will I use during a broadcast? I probably will use 1% to 2% in the broadcast, but here's the key. The 1% to 2% changes every broadcast as to what I, I use. So that's why you have to have it all ready, because you don't know which 1% to 2% you're going to use. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Matt Leon from Philadelphia coming up next on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Did I mention beer? Oh, best selection anywhere, without a doubt. And on top of it, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar is second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up right now for the weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. Stock up right now. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Still to come on the show, Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated. Brendan Quinn from Michigan, and Nikki Javala from the Denver Post, all coming up on today's show. We start out in Philadelphia. Old friend, great friend, Matt Leon from KYW in Philly. Matt, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Always a pleasure, sir.
All right, let's start with Dick Girardi wrote a column yesterday at Daily News, and it was about, look, they got to get rid of the general manager who's running the Sixers. He essentially fired him in the paper because analytics don't work. What were your thoughts on the fact? When DJ writes it, it's significant.
Yeah, there's two camps. There's very little middle ground with the Sixers. There are either people that are in with what they're trying to do or people that hate it. Obviously, it's not hard to see where Dick stands on the issue. This was kind of a... The reason I think it's really hitting with people this year is this is the year I think most people thought they would start to really trend upwards. And when I say that, I don't even mean make the playoffs. I just think, you know, be competitive just about every night, start stealing games against good teams on the road once in a while. And obviously when you start 1-30, everybody has questions. I mean, the glaring problem they had is they came into the season without an NBA point guard, and that's a recipe for going 1-30 with a lot of young players at the other positions. They pick up Ish Smith, who they had last year and for some reason didn't retain. And since they've brought him back, I think they're 5-9. I mean, not great by any stretch of the imagination, but when you've got a competent point guard, all of a sudden you're just another bad NBA team. You got Colangelo in there. You know, I honestly don't know who has the final decision right now with Hinkie and with Colangelo. I mean, granted, he's not there all the time, but you look at the moves that have happened since he came here, the bringing back of Ish Smith, Mike D'Antoni as an assistant coach, it's obvious he's made his mark. You know, this is this coming off season is really kind of the come-to-Jesus moment, I think, for the organization. They've got the possibility of four first-round picks. Is Embiid finally going to be healthy? Is Saric going to come over from Europe? This could be a much different roster a year from now than it is right now, and I mean that in a good way.
Matt, honestly, look, I've seen a couple basketball games in my lifetime. What don't the Sixers have? There is not on that roster one two-way basketball player. On the entire roster, there are no two-way basketball players. I mean, you're talking about a couple guys that can really play defense but have no offensive game. And a couple of guys that can really play offense that can't play defense at all. The league is built on two. Okay, the game is built on quality two-way basketball players. The Sixers have zero on that roster.
No, you're not going to get any I think what really screwed this whole thing up is that Embiid being hurt again this year just completely threw every kind of fork into the plan. I think the whole idea of what they're doing is you're trying to get that transformative player. You know, that guy that you can only get through the draft, the LeBron James, Kevin Durant, right. Guys like that.
Agreed.
And I think a lot of people think Embiid has that type of potential. Not saying he can be that, but when you look at the physical play, the ceiling, stuff like that, he was the guy that looked at. And then he misses all of the 1 year. I think everybody kind of, okay, we get it. And then he expected to miss all of this year. And all of a sudden, it just started kind of unwinding from that point. You know, as far as the two, I agree with you. The one guy I would say maybe a little bit, Robert Covington. I'm not going to – he's a guy that can shoot the three, has long wingspan on the edge, can defend. Did a great job the other day defending Carmelo Anthony. But for the most part, your point is well taken. But like I said, you put a competent guy in there at the point, and if you got a team that plays hard, you know, you're 5-9 in 14 games, and that's right. About 70% of the NBA.
Right. But my point is this. You can do analytics all you want. You got to look at guys. You got to only a look can tell you who a two-way basketball player is, right? And that's the problem at the top with the Sixers, okay? You can't sit there and look at a chart. A chart doesn't tell you what a two-way basketball player is, and they have none because that's all he's done is look at a chart. Doug Peterson, what is the feel? Well, probably the feel in the city will be a lot better if they re-sign Sam Bradford. But what's the feel in the city of changing up something like that?
I think there's a lot of wait and see. I don't think people were very happy with the process.
Right.
Even if you like him, Peterson's resume is thin. A lot of people make the comparison, well, Andy Reid wasn't a coordinator when they brought him in. That's fair enough. But Andy Reid had coached at several different college programs in several different positions. And he'd been a quarterback coach for a Hall of Fame, even at that point, you knew it was a Hall of Fame quarterback in Brett Favre. So when he came here, he had a little bit more. You look at Peterson, 5 years as a head coach, or excuse me, 4 years as a head coach at a high school down in Louisiana. He spent a couple of years as a position coach here and then goes to be the offensive coordinator in Kansas City, but he's the offensive coordinator kind of in name only because Andy Reid calls all the plays and makes all the big decisions.
Right.
He is the anti-Chip Kelly. And the idea that he actually talks to people and likes people. And I think that was the number one thing they were looking for, was someone that would relate to everyone in the building and allow everyone to kind of do their job and not hate coming to work. But I think most people are taking a wait-and-see attitude because really there's nothing more to go on. If you're going to, as far as the most people's exposure to Doug Peterson are the 9 games he started in 1999 while they waited for Donovan McNabb. You know, he was an assistant coach here, but, you know, those deep assistant coaches, it's very hard to tell what kind of effect they have, good or bad, especially at the NFL level. So, you know, it's wait and see. I thought his press conference was impressive. I like a lot of the staff he's put together. I think Jim Schwartz might be the key hire as the defensive coordinator because I think if this defense can be on the field for a reasonable number of plays, and looks like they're going to switch back to a 4-3, they could take a big step forward.
I was going to mention that because they've been a 3-4 team. And him being a 4-3 guy, do they have the personnel to be a 4-3 team?
Oh, absolutely. I think they've had personnel for 4-3 the last few years.
Okay.
I think the one guy that's really going to benefit is Vinnie Curry, who is a natural pass rusher, but they would only play him about 18-20% of the snaps. And you know, I'm not smart enough X and O wise to tell you if the guy's bad against the run, but I know he gets out there, he gets pressure on the quarterback. In today's game, that's so valuable. His name's been bandied about for a contract extension, and he is a guy I think that will see the most benefit. Fletcher Cox can, you know, you could run a 110, and Fletcher Cox will be successful.
He's great.
So, you know, I think they're okay. The linebacker position, Jordan Hicks, the rookie last year, looks like a natural at middle linebacker. Then you put Kendricks outside, and, you know, Kiko Alonso was so bad this year, I don't know what to make of him. But I think, there's a part of you that almost hopes he wasn't healthy and that he was just trying to gut it out because at least then you'd have a reason to say, okay, he'll be better. Because if he really was healthy and over-the-knee thing, that's alarming how ineffective he was this season. I think a 4-3 has been a better fit for the last few years. And I think you take a defense that's used to having to try to defend 83, 85 plays, and all of a sudden they get to defend 60, 65 and get normal rest. You know, it could make a huge difference. And the defense, I think, has the potential to maybe not be elite, but to be a very above average.
Never a dull moment in the city, is there?
No, it's always fun, even when we're losing.
You're always fun no matter what. It's great talking to you, bud.
You too, sir. All the best.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Leon, KYW Philadelphia, joining us on the show today. Still to come on the show, Brendan Quinn. The Mighty Quinn joining us from
Ann Arbor to talk about tomorrow's showdown, Penn State at Michigan in basketball. Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, still to come on the show to talk about a big recruiting weekend for Penn State coming up. And Nikki Javala from the Denver Post is going to join us as well as the Broncos get ready for the Super Bowl. And, of course, this day in sports history coming up, our play-by-play call of the day, and our sports bozo of the day, which is a beauty today. The sports bozo of the day falls under the category of you just had one job. You only had one job. It's a beauty. You'll love it. That is coming up in a little more than an hour from now. Sports history is going to deal with Halls of Fame today. You'll love that, too. All right. So that's what we have coming up on the show. So we've gone from Philadelphia. We're going to go to Ann Arbor. Then we're going to go to State College. And then we're going to go to Denver. So that's the trip we're taking you on today's show across the country to preview Philadelphia sports, the Super Bowl, Penn State, Michigan in basketball, and recruiting for Penn State football. Pretty well-rounded show. Meanwhile, wrestling rolls on, four number ones in the country. Last night in hockey, Michigan did beat Penn State at Pagula 7-4. Rematch tomorrow night in the Garden at 7. Novak Djokovic won today as he beat Roger Federer in four sets. He will take on Andy Murray for the Australian Open title down under in Melbourne. If there's any player who has a chance to win the Grand Slam this year, it is the Joker, without a doubt. He is an incredible talent. And the three sets he beat Federer in today, he won the three sets with relative ease. Federer was able to get one. He won the third set. Murray had to rally. And when Murray finally took control in the fourth set, he then ran through the fifth set. So it's the top two seeds head-to-head, Djokovic against Murray at the Australian Open. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports domestic microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. We're also in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Heading to the bottom of the hour, news coming up next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When the snow blows in to your neighborhood, who you gonna call?
Snowbusters!
Winter has finally arrived.
Were you ready?
If not, no problem. Sunbury Motors has snowbusting vehicles to help you through the next big storm. Sunbury Motors Ford has over 50 2016 Ford Escapes in stock. Save $3,750 now. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 60 months. Check out the vehicle that redefines the compact SUV with its new design. The all-wheel drive Hyundai Tucson at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. The all-new 2016 Hyundai Tucson all-wheel drive starts at just $24,820. Sunbury Motors Kia has 49 snow-busting Kia Sorentos and Sportages, all clearly sale-priced and all with 0% financing available for up to 66 months. Sunbury Motors Ford, Hyundai, and Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf. See their entire snow-busting inventory at sunburymotors.com, a tradition of trust for over 100 years.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Still to come on the show. First of all, our thanks to Matt Leon who joined us in the opening half hour from KYW in Philadelphia. This half hour, we go out to Denver. Nikki Javala, Denver Post, talk about the Broncos. As we're 9 days away from the Super Bowl. Then in the third half hour, 4:06, Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrator. We're going to run down what's happening in recruiting this weekend for Penn State football. Final half hour, Brendan Quinn, who covers Michigan basketball on the big doubleheader tomorrow between Penn State and Michigan. Basketball gets rolling at noon tomorrow at Madison Square Garden in New York, and hockey will be at 7 o'clock tomorrow night at MSG. Last night, Michigan beat Penn State in hockey 7-4. Michigan ranked 6th in the nation in hockey, while the Nittany Lions are ranked 14th. We had Tim King, of course, on the show yesterday to preview that one for us. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Store's really well laid out. Wide aisles, plenty of help, by the way, to get the cases of the car, and there's plenty of free parking as well. They also have water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is second to none. Barrel and dill pickles, number one on this guy's list right here. On top of it, you ought to start stocking up for your Super Bowl party now. Why not? Go in there tonight. Stock up for the Super Bowl party now. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Very proud to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin had to turn in his car today. He'll tell you about that and then start transitioning to what he's going to be driving next week. They've done a great job of setting up Kevin with one great Sunbury Motors vehicle after another. All right. This day in sports history. It was on this day in 1936 that the first members of the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame were named in Cooperstown, New York. The number one vote getter was Ty Cobb, not Babe Ruth. Ty Cobb was the number one vote getter. The five members were Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, Honus Wagner, Christy Mathewson, and Walter Johnson. The first five members of the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame on this date in 1936. Not to be outdone, the National Football League announced that the first members of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio were named. On this date, that list included Sammy Baugh, Johnny Blood, Dutch Clark, Red Grange, Mel Hine of the Giants, Pete Henry, Cal Hubbard, the great receiver Don Hutson from the Packers, Bronco Nagurski, Ernie Nevers, who scored 6 touchdowns in a game, Jim Thorpe, Burt Bell, who had been the commissioner of the NFL, Joe Carr, who helped start it and was the first president of what became the NFL, George Halas, of course, of the Decatur Staley Chicago Bears, Curly Lambeau, the legendary head coach of the Packers, Tim Mara, who started the New York Giants, and George Preston Marshall, who started the Boston Redskins and then moved them to Washington. They were the first members of the National Football League Pro Football Hall of Fame named on this date in 1963 in Canton, Ohio. The 49ers became the first NFL team in history to win 5 Super Bowls on this date in 1995. They beat the Chargers 49-26. Steve Young, a Super Bowl record, 6 touchdown passes in that game. In 2004, Major League Baseball owners approved the $430 million sale of the Dodgers from News Corp to Frank McCourt. That did not work out well for the Dodgers and didn't work out well for Frank McCourt either. Coming up in the next hour, our Bozo of the Day. You're going to love it. It comes under the category of, look, you just had one job. You had one job. And you couldn't get it done. That's next hour. Our play-by-play call of the day coming up after the top of the hour. Still to come in the show at 4:06, Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, will talk Penn State football recruiting, a very important weekend for the Nittany Lions coming up. He will explain who will be here and what the approach will be. And final half hour, Brendan Quinn from Ann Arbor to preview Penn State, Michigan, and basketball tomorrow from Madison Square Garden in New York. And time now to bring in Nikki Javala from the Denver Post. We had her on for the first time in mid-December when the Steelers played the Broncos. She's been a regular ever since. Welcome back, Nikki. It is great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
This has been quite a run. We decided to have you on before the Steelers-Broncos game back in December, and now you're on every week.
I can't believe they've made it this far. I will admit that publicly. I cannot believe it, but it's been a fun ride. So
it certainly has. Let's start with the Denver defense, because everybody's going to start with Peyton Manning. Eventually, we'll get there. But what the aggressiveness that they showed Brady And how did Wade Phillips change up some coverages? Because it looked like Brady was not sure what they were playing at times.
You know what's interesting is the players will not, they will tell you in the secondary that they stuck with man the entire time. But when you talk to the opponents, they're like, nah, they're switching up the zone, and you can kind of see it. What was interesting about this game, though, is I feel like they threw the kitchen sink at Tom Brady, and it worked. I mean, 20 quarterback hits. That's insane.
Yes.
And it sounds incredibly painful if you're Tom Brady, but that's insane. So, yeah, I mean, the game plan was impeccable. I mean, I don't know if they can apply the same thing to Cam Newton, given his size and his added mobility, but That was one of the best defensive performances I've seen out of this group, and they've turned in a lot of good defensive performances.
Ware and Miller are two outstanding edge guys, but tell us a little bit about Wolf. He got hurt during the course of the game. Tell us a little bit about him and his backstory.
You know what's interesting about Wolf? This season was really telling because he started out, he had that four-game suspension for performance-enhancing drugs.
Right.
I kind of talked to his trainer, kind of talking about what he was doing in that four-week stretch, and they did this thing where they had these game simulations. They would bring in these former players, Chris Cooper, who is now with the Dolphins, and I forget one of the other guys' names, but they would take them to a practice field not far from the Broncos practice facility. They would start during game times, and they would have them go through a series in a drive and have him do things that he would do in a game, and it's really helped him in the season. Because this guy is having a breakout year. It's amazing. And now that he got his four-year extension, and they signed him right before the Steelers game, you know, he said, you know, it's kind of freeing. And you can see it on the field. This guy's an animal out there.
He did get banged up during the game. I assume he's fine, though.
Yeah. No, he's fine. You know, and any of the guys that are going through stuff, Darren Stewart, T.J. Ward, yes, they have injuries. Yes, they're banged up. Yes, that's expected after this point in the season, but they are all expected to play.
I know you're big on Harris and how he plays at the at the corner spot. It looked like he played a spectacular game on Sunday. What has allowed him, Nikki, to develop into a guy that may not be a shutdown corner, but he sure is one of the better ones?
What's cool about Chris Harris is his versatility. You know, everybody talks about Richard Sherman and all these other great corners, but Chris Harris can play all the positions. Chris Harris was at safety in that game. This was a guy who entered the game, they say, oh, he couldn't even brush his teeth. Well, A, he doesn't brush his teeth with his left hand. but he is banged up nonetheless. And here's this guy, he's playing every defensive snap, plus safety, plus specialty. I mean, he does it all. That's what's amazing about him.
Offensively, obviously what Peyton has done, how different, Nikki, is the style of game that Peyton Manning is playing right now compared to the Peyton Manning that was flying through the league 2 years ago?
Oh, it's very different. And John Elway said this. He said this after the game. You know, Peyton Manning is very much a game manager now. He didn't mean that negatively, but that term alone has a negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is a game manager before he was the star of the show. You know, he can make these passes that were unbelievable. I mean, you would see him leave their hand, and you're like, oh, my gosh, how did that fall in the receiver's arms, you know? So it's very different. He's, you know, his mind is very much compensating for, you know, what he lacks physically. And a lot of that is attributed to the foot injury, which will not heal until after the season, and a lot of it is just age. It's natural. You know, he's 39. He can't do the things he could 2 years ago. So it's very different watching him. It's very different watching this team where the defense is really the star, not Peyton Manning.
Right. Manning, interesting enough, when Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl and was the MVP when they beat the Bears, that playoff run, he had three touchdown passes and seven interceptions in that playoff run.
Yeah.
This year he has three touchdowns. He has no interceptions so far. How careful has he been with the football? Because normally he's aggressive as aggressive gets.
Right. He's been very careful, and they need that. You know, the turnovers are what decide these games anymore. It's something DeMarcus Ware has preached throughout, and it's something that, you know, he has tangible proof. It's the turnovers decide these games. And going against the Panthers, it's even more crucial because what do they have, like a 20 turnover differential
or
something?
Yeah, they're plus 21, I think, or something.
Yeah, it's insane. So, yes, he is being more careful, and he needs it. You go back to the games where he was throwing multiple interceptions. They can't afford it at this point in the season. They just can't.
What I found interesting is they sort of had a running game on Sunday because the running game's been really good. But yeah. To you, Nikki, how important will the running game be against Carolina to allow Peyton to be a better game manager?
Extremely important. It's always extremely important with the way Peyton Manning is now. They need that running game to get going. They need that balance. The defense has been extraordinary throughout, but they need some production out of the rushers. And it's especially important for CJ and Ronnie because, Ronnie's going to be an unrestricted free agent. He needs this game, really needs this game. So it's important on multiple levels. I mean, they got to find the end zone. They really do.
Right. Well, what's interesting about Owen Daniels, and I remember when he played against Penn State and he was playing for Wisconsin, I think in every stage of his career, Gary Kubiak's been his coach. On the pro level, whether it was Houston, Baltimore, or now Denver.
Yep.
What has he added to the mix that's made the Denver offense a little bit better?
Yeah, well, I mean, all he knows is Gary Kubiak's offense at the pro level. He has played with him every stop. And he is the X factor. I think it was expected that they would try to utilize their tight ends more against the Patriots because they did that last time. It's worked for Mike Shanahan in the past. It worked again. So it was expected that he would get more action, but one of the things he really brought to the team is just his experience in the offense. You know, when the entire team was kind of adjusting to the new system, he was a source for, if anybody had questions, they could go to him. If they needed anything about the new offense, he was kind of, another coach in a sense. So he's helped with the transition, but he's kind of that weapon they have in their back pocket where people kind of underestimate him, maybe because of his age, maybe because of his numbers, but he can shine when they need him.
Well, he had the two big touchdown catches on Sunday against New England. What about the special teams component of this? What's your thoughts on McManus? Cause obviously I saw him when he kicked at Temple, and also the Ted Ginn factor returning kicks because, for example, Antonio Brown didn't return kicks in the Steeler game, and let's face it, there's nobody in the Patriots that does anything like this.
Yeah, I think McManus, first of all, is a find. I mean, he was kind of inconsistent in his first 2 years. He kind of bounced around from team to team, and then he really honed his craft in the offseason. And, he had that really great run the start of the season. I think we were maybe a little spoiled by how good he was, in replacing Matt Prater, which is not easy to do.
Right.
But he's really come through in the clutch. So they need him. They have needed him. They've used him. He's been so key to their deep run in the postseason. On returns, man, I remember Joe DiCamillo saying Antonio Brown was, he's almost unstoppable. You just hope to not let him get away for the score,
Right.
And I kind of feel like they're approaching the same thing with Ted Ginn. They have to get those stops. Their special teams has kind of been beaten up with injuries. So that's definitely one thing to watch going into this game.
Well, and the other part, too, you have to get to the Cam factor in this. Now, they've faced a quarterback of similar size. Ben Roethlisberger and Newton are a similar size. The difference is that Newton moves now the way Roethlisberger moved 5 years ago. So, when you've talked to the players about him, what is the first thing they say?
I believe Akib said he is super unique. I mean, this kid's a force. He is LeBron James playing quarterback. And look at the size of him. Look at his sheer athleticism. And he has improved so much in the last 2 years. So this is, they've gone through Roethlisberger. They've gone through Brady. This is, in my mind, the biggest test. I mean, the biggest stage. But I also think just him alone is a huge test. And I also think the bigger story is interesting, too, because you got Peyton Manning who's kind of this old guard, pocket passer, and then you got this young, athletic, super mobile, flamboyant. It's Cam Newton. It's just, you know, the dichotomy is fascinating, especially the reaction to it, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting contrast in styles, without question.
Yeah.
What's the atmosphere in the city about the fact that somehow they've done this?
I think the first couple of days there was that shock. You know, oh my gosh, I can't believe they made it this far. We all thought they would lose to the Steelers. we thought for sure they would lose to the Patriots. Can you believe they've made it this far? Now it's more optimism. You know, I think everybody feels, not everybody, but I think a lot of people kind of feel deep down like they could really win this. They could bring home another Super Bowl title, which would be really cool, especially given the wild season they've had.
I don't think anybody would have thought that in the course of a Super Bowl run, Brock Osweiler at some point would have been the starting quarterback. So I don't think they would have thought that.
No.
Nikki, thank you so much. We greatly appreciate it. The audience loves your perspective. Enjoy every second of it.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Nikki Javala from the Denver Post. Now, our Bozo of the Day does deal with the Super Bowl. That is in the next hour. We'll have that at 4:35. You're going to love it. It's under the category of, you had just one job, man. Kevin, you're gonna love it. This is right up your alley. This is great stuff, and I think you'll get a good laugh out of it. You had just one job. That's our Bozo of the Day. Next half hour, we're gonna shift gears to Penn State recruiting. In fact, it's gonna be an all Penn State hour coming up. Penn State recruiting with Ryan Snyder from Blue White Illustrated. He'll join us. And then we'll have Brendan Quinn from Ann Arbor to preview tomorrow's Penn State-Michigan basketball game at Madison Square Garden in New York. It's a big picture moment for the Big Ten. And Penn State, look, gave up a home game to do this. It has caused a scheduling issue for Penn State with a young team and a couple of guys sitting out and another, you know, this has not been a great week for Penn State. Shep Garner did not practice until this morning. This morning's the first time all week he has practiced since Ohio State. They were down to 7 players in practice yesterday. 7. That was it. 7 players. And with all the road games, I've been wondering if they've been getting road weary because of all this. And I think everyone knows. Look at all the locations I've done the show from, for goodness sakes. I have done the show on location now in the last 7 weeks in Washington, Philadelphia, Las Vegas, Columbus. Where else have I done the show? I feel like I've been everywhere but here. But, I mean, just look at where we've been. Been all over the place. And it doesn't include the weekends. And this is this is 3 straight games. They'll be away from the Jordan Center. They were at Ohio State. They got this game tomorrow at MSG. And the next week they're at Iowa. You know, so we're going to do the National Letter of Intent Day show, the recruiting show, from Iowa next week on Wednesday. I was kind of wondering watching them against Ohio, because look, Wisconsin and Iowa are both winnable games, and Ohio State were both winnable games. They're both winnable games for Penn State. There was not a matchup problem for them in either one of those games with Wisconsin and Ohio State. But against Ohio State, it looked like on their shots they had no legs left. And I wonder if in some ways they're getting road worried with a young team. We'll find out. They should be juiced tomorrow. MSG is an awesome place to be. The only guy that ever played there before is Josh Reeves, and he can't play tomorrow. All right. Coming up next hour, Ryan Snyder, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.